Welcome to Running on Indy. I'm Jesse Davis.
And I'm Blake Robertson.
Today we're going to talk all things Olympic marathon trials because the race is right around the corner. And we're going to talk about who we think is going to make it, what it's all about, and some hot takes. Our guest today is statistician extraordinaire, local friend, Jason Ritter, who is also a fantastic runner himself, and we'll let him do a little intro. Want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Jason?
Sure. Hi, Jesse. Hey, Blake. Thanks for letting me on the show today. Glad to be running with you guys and doing this podcast with you for a chance.
Yeah. You have a bunch of exciting things to talk about on the run, so let's transition it to the podcast. And Jason, side note, was a former 401 miler in college, so that's pretty impressive. I don't know. That's really impressive.
That's what keeps me running these days still. Like that one, you know, that 1 second just keeps me going.
Oh, yeah. And then another little side note to mention, I am currently in transition with my coach, Matt Ebersole, forming an ultra/trail group locally. And I've been with him since 2007. This is going to be a little add-on. We're going to take trips to local trails like Morgan Monroe and different places all over the state. We do like field trips. So if that's something you're interested in, check out personalbesttraining.com and we'll get rolling on that in March.
So what you're saying, Jesse, is you'll be the only one a part of that group.
I hope not. I want my friends out there on the trails. Because the trails are all about camaraderie and being with you, you know, just out in nature and running naked.
Well,
oh, I threw that in there. I almost did it. No one else caught that. There will be no naked running. I'm sorry.
Before we get started, though, let's do a shout out sponsor for our sponsor. A shout out to our sponsor, 361 Running Shoes. The all new Spire 4 now, so we're on number 4 with the all new with the technology of Quick Foam. So definitely come to your local Runners Forum or your local retail running specialty store. Pick out the shoe. I am currently Jesse in the Spin Jet right now.
Oh yeah. It's been replaced with a Phantom.
It is. Yeah. But I really like this shoe. It's my kind of just chill shoe. Yeah. So that's what I'm in right now.
Yeah. The Spire is a great shoe. I'd come check it out. Let's get into the Olympic Trials Marathon, which is going to take place February 29th in Atlanta, which is a great site. I think the temperatures, what's the temperature going to be like, Jason?
Probably average of 50s. 50s. Or lowers.
So. Which, that's pretty awesome, because I know an early concern with Atlanta is that it could have been hot. And they changed the loops from 6 to 8 miles. And from what I understand, it cuts out like 3 pretty sharp turns, which is going to be nice for the runners. So 3 8-mile loops plus a 2.2 at the end. And then the race will start for men at 12:03 p.m. and women shortly after at 12:13 p.m. And you can watch that on NBC. And if you don't know what the Olympic Trials marathon is all about, it's the race to pick the top 3 men and women that will go to the Olympics in Tokyo. And you want to talk about the times that people had to run to get in?
Sure. So for the men's side, there's, you know, your two standards. The absolute cutoff to get in was a 2:19, and I think there was something like 240 something guys that finally ended up with that. 242 men actually declared from that. On the women's side, they had a time of 2:45. So that standard was fairly achievable by a lot of athletes. We had 443 women who actually ended up declaring for this race. So it's going to be a big race compared to past Olympic trials. I think, for example, in LA in 2016, I think there was less than 500 or just around 500 total athletes. So we're seeing a pretty big jump this year, whether it has to do with a lot more marathoners just participating. We may or may not have time to get into Shoegate, but I mean, that's always, I think you've got a lot of people setting PRs the last 2 years because of technology, but
And the interesting thing as well is this time around, you can qualify in a half as well, but they increased the halftime and made it quite a bit loftier. So a lot of these qualifiers have actually run a marathon, whereas opposed to last time in LA, it was more, it was a lot of people qualified in the half.
Well, also what they're doing as well this year, from what I was told, is all the people who qualified for half were going to be in the back of the pack. Versus if you qualify in the front now.
All the
marathon qualifiers get the dibs on the front. And then all of the lower bibs, even guys with faster halves that just qualified with a half, are in the back.
I didn't hear that. Is that your hot take for the day?
That's one of two hot takes. Wow.
That is a pretty good hot take. I didn't know that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is fair. I think it's fair.
Which is interesting because if you look at the B standard, or the half qualifier for the men, it's pretty solid in the B range. If you did a translation, like we have an indie guy, I don't know if he's from Indianapolis, but Nick Montanez, I think he was one of our indie folks who qualified on a half. I think he ran 61, so like 101.37.
Yeah. I think he trains out west, right?
But it translates to like a 209. But on the women's side, there was only two women that are in the field that qualified on a half. It was something like 19 or 20 guys got in on a half.
Yeah.
Jim Walmsley was one who just snuck in at 64.
Yeah.
Like at the limit. But
he ended up running a 62 at Houston.
Yeah, it was a short course.
Was it?
Yeah, his original attempt was 64. But that course that he ran recently, and it was actually in Phoenix,
I thought he ran it at Houston.
A little short. Well, he ran the 64 at Houston. And then he ran another one recently in Phoenix, and it was a little bit of short course.
Okay. I thought he ran the 62 at Houston.
No, he ran the 64 flat at Houston.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And, because they had to get registered and qualified. They had to submit their entries by January 22nd to the USATF.
Yeah.
That was
okay.
One thing that I would like to point out, too, all those athletes, you said 685 or so that are going, huge kudos to Atlanta Track Club. Because they got the race on a commitment to pay for travel for all athletes, not just A standard, which is the typical athlete that gets paid accommodations. They're going to pay for all athletes, A and B standard athletes, for their travel, which is pretty incredible considering the number that are doing the race. And I big kudos to them. I mean, that's incredible.
That is incredible.
Yeah, and I went to...
they're also giving out singlets.
Really?
Oh, wow. Really?
Well, is that number two?
Somebody
may have done some research.
Man, you're coming in hot, man.
Somebody's got a deep throat sore here.
That's right. Somebody may or may not have ran with a couple of guys.
And we're going to get into local athletes in a second, but that's, I mean, big kudos to them. We have a friend, actually, at Atlanta Track Club who helped design the course.
That was mine.
You go ahead. Say his name.
His name was...
It still is.
Still is.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Did you forget his name?
I did not forget his name.
Go ahead.
So his name is... Yeah, I forgot his name.
Rob Mullen. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, Rob.
And I'm the one that had the hot take.
I should have stole it from you. Oh, man, that's embarrassing.
Yes, Rob designed the course.
In sound effects, post-production, we need a wah-wah.
Rob designed the course.
Rob is a great guy. He works for Atlanta Track Club. Mm-hmm. And just the logistics on this, every athlete is going to get 6 bottles. And that many, that's roughly 4,200 bottles that they had to put on the course at every 4 miles. It's spread out every 4 miles.
Too.
Yeah, so it's basically going to be 2 aid stations where they're just going to be loaded with bottles. And if you ever ran a race where you had to grab bottles, it is intense when there's that many out there. So,
and that's a concern, having that many people on the race course for a trials like this, because you do have a lot of bodies out there. And with the loop idea now, I mean, you've got it. Ideally, they'll be packed.
You'll be coming up on it quick every time.
Every time, they're going to be, I mean, those people that are working, big shout out to the volunteers that are helping out, because they're going to be hopping.
Yeah, I think it's going to be well run, though, given that organization. So I'm excited about that. It will be a little bit of a challenging course, a little less flat than the last 2 Olympic trials.
Yeah, most of the qualifiers came in on relatively flat courses. And this one, and I don't know how much this has changed with the new loops, but I mean, they were saying it's 1,300 feet of elevation gain, which is significant.
Yeah, that's significant for like a road race where you're really gunning for it. That could play. I think that could play into who does and doesn't make the team. I won't give my list
we'll
yet.
We'll get there.
I think that could be a factor. I'm just saying. Anything else about the course that we need to mention? We've covered weather. We've covered the loops.
Are they going to have porta potties?
Oh, I'm sure. Of course, okay. They'll have porta potties. Okay. And I will say, like, I am really excited about Atlanta and everything they're doing.
Stop and pee.
Of course.
All those water bottles and all that shit.
Now, if someone makes the team that stopped and peed, I would be very impressed.
I would automatically give them the gold. Yeah. For the Olympics, if they could do that.
Yeah, I'd be very impressed. But there will be porta potties, and I will say, like, I think Atlanta, what they're doing is great. I've been at the last two Olympic trials. 2012 Houston really took care of everybody. 2016 LA, we were kind of an afterthought. I'm sorry, LA, but it was kind of like what's going on? Like no one knew what was going on. I mean, it's LA.
Do you sense there's a little more excitement in this go around than there has been?
Oh yeah, yeah. Olympic especially trials. Since this is like a golden era almost. Like I don't think that U.S. distance running has been this strong since like the 80s, early 80s.
At least.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we should transition now into some of the local athletes. I think we've kind of given a rundown of what to expect. So Jason, you want to break it down? A lot of these guys have been on the show, guys and gals. So there might be names you recognize if you're a fan.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Jordan Kyle, he's a guy we've run with a couple times before.
Around oh yeah. Here. I run with Jordan a lot. And a lot of morning runs, Mondays.
Yep. We've been out there at Eagle Creek with him a couple times, and it's been just hanging.
Jordan who?
Jordan Kyle.
Never
you
heard of
Jordan
him.
Kyle.
Never
Shut up. You know Jordan.
Never heard of him.
He was on the hot sauce episode.
Yeah.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Brain damage from the bomb.
Yeah, the bomb took you out.
And Blake and I were talking earlier. He's had some pretty good training runs, even out there. And I think
he's fit.
I think the way Eagle Creek looks and that terrain out there probably was ideal training for mm-hmm. what he's going to probably see in Atlanta. So I give him a good. I mean, and he's on it. Yeah. He's in at a 2:16:51. So
yeah.
And his new singlet looks like a race. It looks like a speed suit.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I haven't seen it. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I hope he takes.
It looks like he's got a speed suit on.
We'll have to have him come in and model.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Another local is Caleb Kerr.
Caleb Kerr.
Yeah, okay. Caleb Kerr.
Yeah. Who is also he was in the hot sauce challenge.
Well, yeah, he was. Wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, Caleb.
Another person I've never heard of.
He just ran like a pretty awesome half marathon.
He did. I think he ran like a 64:30, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so he is in good shape. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see him coming back mm-hmm. from some injuries that he was having. But yeah, I think he's in good shape going in. Mm-hmm. So.
Who else? Let's see.
Olivia.
Olivia.
Yeah, yeah Olivia Bloom. Yeah, she was another hot sauce.
Yeah, well, yeah,
holy
was,
crap.
Right, she was.
I think all the local athletes were probably in the hot sauce challenge.
don't yeah. remember any of these people.
She's been in two podcasts.
Yes. Yeah,
and she supported you on your wine tastes and the wine
she
tasting
did, and
episode.
She's from my home state.
Yeah, Olivia would be a good one. She's in really good shape. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to run well. And I mean, like all her training runs look fantastic. So going into it, I really like where she's going. And then,
yep. Anna Weber is another one.
Yeah. Also on two podcasts, Hot Sauce and the Wine
See,
Tasting.
You guys, maybe there's some kind of trend here. You know, if they're on the show, at the trial. So
yeah, there you go.
It depends on how you look at
Anna
it.
Anna always runs solid.
She's going to do well. Yeah. I think Anna, like looking at her training as well. And it's nice to see all these local athletes really like coming into some prime shape going into the trials.
Well, and she qualified at the Philadelphia Marathon, which is a little harder than some of the other ones we had. I mean, it's hilly in the middle. So it's at least she's got that background. I mean, a lot of the others here, they qualified either Indy last year, that the Monumental last year when it was a little warmer.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jesse, you remember how cold it was this year?
Yeah, it was pretty cold.
It was freezing. It was, I only did the half, but it was still cold enough.
Yeah.
What about Aaron Navarro?
Erin
is qualified. Is she not?
She Yeah, we have several that did qualify, but she didn't declare.
Well,
yeah.
Kelby's running.
Yeah, Kelby is. Yeah,
isn't she pregnant too?
Yes, she is. Yes. Okay. I wanted to make sure that was common information before we blasted it on a podcast.
I'm saying that's pretty amazing. But she's going to run a marathon.
She will be running. Yes, pregnant. And I wasn't for sure if that was like information that she had shared yet. But she has put it on Facebook. Yes. So
that's why
I had a little bit of a pause before that. But yeah, that's great. She's going to go. And I think she's still going to give it a tough showing because she is, I mean, she's an incredible athlete as well and tough.
Yeah, I would say it's hard enough to qualify one person across the line. I can imagine taking two, but there you go.
Yeah.
Good for her.
And then,
Laura Zenger.
Do you know Laura Zenger?
I don't know. Laura,
that's the one I don't know.
She's the only one that qualified this year.
She qualified at Monumental.
Yeah. She just snuck in with a 2:44.33.
Yeah. I apologize, Laura. I should know who you are. So,
we'll reach out to her if she wants to come on the podcast.
Hot sauce. You're on the next hot sauce.
Yeah, next hot sauce one, you're invited. We'll
reach out to you, Laura.
Yeah, we'll reach out to you for sure. And there are several other athletes that like Erin Vergara, who we also know, and Sarah Pease that we also know that did qualify, and for reasons that I don't actually know, but... you know, life gets in the way, and sometimes you just don't make the line. So it's no big deal, but we can mention them as well. So those are all the local athletes that are going to be participating in the race. So do you want to do our second little
plug?
361 plug here?
Yes, we would like to thank 361 again for helping us with this podcast.
Yeah.
Making the magic happen, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Yeah, they gave me, like, I had a wear test shoe on this morning, the Pacer ST. I really liked it. I got to give them some feedback.
Is that a trail shoe?
Yeah, no, it's actually a lightweight trainer. It's pretty nice.
Okay.
So I'm going to give them some feedback on that. Look for that one, the Pacer ST. It's going to be a pretty fantastic shoe.
Yeah, and they make trail shoes. They make really good running shoes. Apparently they just signed that basketball player, the slam dunk contest.
Oh, yeah?
Gordon.
361 signed a...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And then Sarah, do you know if Sarah Crouch is running? She's a former podcast, 361 athlete, former podcast.
Yeah, she's running, yes.
She's running? Okay. I wasn't for sure because she was battling some injuries.
Yes, her and her sister both qualified.
Oh, congratulations. Hey, Sarah, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're going to do fantastic. Sarah was the top female finisher at Chicago and Houston Marathon. Mm-hmm. At I think 2018.
She's going in there with the A standard, so she's probably got a shot to probably.
Yeah, she'll be in the mix.
Yeah.
I think Sarah's going to do really well. So let's get into, now that we're talking about that, let's get into both races and like who we think is going to be contending for the team. Well, since the men's race starts first, we can start with the men's. What do you guys, what's your take?
Okay, let me go first.
Mm-hmm.
So I got, which is funny, researching this, a lot of people don't have him, which I find really crazy.
Really?
But my number one is Galen Rupp, but a lot of people don't have him because of his injuries and his last couple of races.
I think it's changed, though.
But that was the last article I read.
Yeah.
It may have changed, but I'm going with him, even though I know he's coming off of 61, but apparently that was just a tempo. He was just tempoing a 61.
Yeah, from what I heard someone, I talked to somebody that talked to him after the race, and he was not going hard.
Right, he was not going hard.
Yeah.
And he's just, his PR.
And that was recent. That was like
within
3 weeks.
So much better than everybody else's. I just think he's going to run. I think he's going to sit there for until about 10, 5K to go and then leave everybody. Also, too, what people don't realize, yes, he dropped out in Chicago last year, but he went through 30K at 2:06 pace before he dropped out. So what I'm saying I'm just saying, like, I just think he's going to run away with it. So he's my number one.
Okay.
I think there were doubts on him, though, until that 61.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't done anything
I still would have had him.
Yeah.
I just think he's just going to sit there and just leave everything.
I think that's solid.
All right. Two, I'm going to go with Jared Ward. I just think that he's really a tough runner when it comes to tough conditions. Anytime there's a tough condition race, he always seems to do very well. You look at the last Olympics, you look at the LA Marathon in the past. I just think he's a really good, strong runner. So I'm going with Jared Ward for my number two. And he's got experience doing it. And number three is I'm going with Jim Walmsley, the dark horse.
Oh, yeah.
So I think my view with Jim Wormsley is I think the course suits him. It's really hilly. That's what he does every day. His marathon is like our easy, is like our 5K run, like we go out and run through. I mean, he just runs 26 miles.
I don't have a problem with that. I think he's going to be the most interesting person to me to watch. Yeah. If you don't know who Jim Wormsley is, he's the best, hands-down, ultra male athlete out there, ultra runner. He dominates everything. He sets World all the
championships,
all the course records Western on everything, States. Fastest known times. He is an animal in the ultra world. But now he's decided to go to marathon. And, you know, and people are, it's very intriguing because he's so good and he runs so many miles. I mean, I saw a training run recently where he did like 31 miles at 5:30 pace, you know,
altitude
with hills. And
last mile was like 4:40.
Yeah. And he's been doing some, and interesting about him too, is he's been doing some Japanese style training methods where he's putting in really high mileage, like
175 miles a week,
which the Japanese are known for putting in crazy mileage, and they have a lot of very, very fast runners. So I think that's interesting, the approach that he's taking training.
He doesn't have a coach either. He does
no, he does his own, because he said, he said no coach would let him run 175 miles a week. So.
And also with him too, is he's never ran a marathon, which makes it even more interesting.
Yeah. He qualified with a half, which is...
And it's a long shot, but I just think
he ran the same race Rupp did and ran 62 something.
Yeah. I just think it's a long shot. But I just think if things play right and if Pete, I think he's got a shot because I just think he's got the strength.
Yeah.
And it's a strength course.
Okay.
So what do you think, Jason? That's my three.
Oh, man. So I think it could go either way. It really depends on what kind of race it ends up being because, you know, as Blake so clearly got us started on this route, Walmsley is kind of an unknown for this. And with this type of a course, I have some concerns about Rupp and his Achilles because you're talking about a hilly course.
Yeah, that's true.
And if he's running, I mean, are these guys going to be, we've got several Nike athletes in here. Are they going to be running in Alpha Flies? Is that going to affect their heel performance? I don't know, but he's done it before, so who knows? I'm kind of, my two camps, I'm going to do it this way. So if it turns into a sit and kick race, which it likely could, it's going to be the speed guys. I think Jared Ward's going to be there because he's just been a tank. He's been consistent. Mm-hmm. He's got the Utah background. He was in Rio, like sixth in Rio.
He never has bad races.
He doesn't. I mean, the guy is like textbook consistency. Yeah, give him the Mr. Consistency
and
award.
And conditions don't seem to matter for him.
Exactly.
And I think he could go either way. If it turns into if Walmsley tries to pull like some Tour de France thing and just goes out and goes crazy and leaves the rest of the pack behind.
I don't think he'll do that. Based off the interviews that I've read.
I don't think he will either
like when you're already running that fast.
True.
And like how much further can you get? Like it'd be ridiculous.
True. Yeah. But you do have hills and you do have I mean there's some fast guys, but they're fast guys on flat courses.
Yeah.
Or downhill courses.
That's true.
And the wind is also going to be a factor. I think it's supposed to be like 12 miles an hour, which isn't nothing, but
that's true.
It could be, it'll help pack up a little bit. So,
yeah.
So I think that might be, so Jared, Fauble's been kind of back and forth. Rupp's still in there. If he can stay there, obviously. And then, you know, Leonard Courier. So he's fast. He's got one of the faster times coming in.
Yeah.
But
he is a world cross country guy.
Yeah.
So he is used to kind of uneven terrain.
Yes. And Walmsley actually has an article out there where he has a, he was talking to the reporter and he sent him to he pulled up a 10K finish sheet and it shows, I think Walmsley beat both, Ward and Fauble in this race in the 10K in college. So the guy's got speed.
Yeah.
And I mean, so the other two, but it's just, he's such an unknown. I think he could blow it open with something really easy. And I'm going to throw this one out here too as a fourth. If it sits and kicks, don't leave out the old guys like Bernard Lagat. Because, I mean, being an old guy myself at 45, you know, Lagat he's still got some speed in him. He's still He still holds the record for Masters Worlds, I think, for 5K, and it's he's got speed. He's been out in Kenya training.
Yeah. So and he's got championship experience.
He does. And I mean, if it ends up he's up there in the front, people, I think they really need to be ready to run some fast stuff, and we're going to see some ridiculous last 5K, 10K times.
Yeah.
If they're packing up.
Yeah.
So who
do you got?
Yeah, who do you got?
I'm sorry, I told you.
Ward, you gave a breakdown. Ward.
Oh, sorry. Ward, Walmsley, and...
Oh, you got Walmsley?
Yeah, I got Walmsley.
Oh, wow, okay.
And who's your third one?
Third one is probably going to be Rupp.
Rupp, okay.
But that order, that's your order.
I don't know if you had to do order. I think just picking order. The top three.
Okay. Pick a top three.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got the same one then, basically.
Well, yeah, because you were looking off my notes.
No, no.
Jason did send his notes to us ahead of time.
Our text earlier, I already had my three. Yeah.
All right.
I'm glad we see eye to eye on Walmsley.
Okay.
Before I got eat up for that.
Okay. I'm gonna go through some names real quick. And this is my hot take number one. And when we get to the women's, it's going to be part of my hot take number two. Okay, some of the favorites to do very well and a lot of expert picks. Jared Ward, Saucony runner.
Oh, that's such a hot take, Jesse.
I'm not done yet. I'm going down a list here. Leonard Carrier, he is an Army guy slash Nike, so we'll give him the Nike. Galen Rupp, Nike. Scott Fobel. Did I say that? Fobel?
Fobel,
yeah. Hoka athlete.
Yeah, and Boston.
Yeah. Parker Stinson, Saucony athlete.
Oh, yeah, that's a Tin Man guy.
Andrew Bumbleo. Did I say that right? I apologize if any of these guys are listening to this race. I'm terrible at names.
I'm sure they're listening.
Nike. But then Gerald Mock, Adidas. So how many Nikes do we... I mean, you got three Nikes, and the rest are... And that's the top seven, like, expert-type picks. And if you want to throw in Jim Walmsley, Hoka.
Yeah.
So that's eight people, and only three of them are Nike athletes. And everybody wants to talk about the Nike shoes. I'm just saying, that's my hot take.
It would be cool if nobody from Nike made it in.
None of these guys.
That would be cool.
None of these guys are wearing these Nike shoes. So I'm just saying, if you believe in the Nike shoes, how fast could these guys be?
Mm-hmm.
And just that's my hot take. But anyway, for my picks, this is kind of tough. Usually, from my experience, from the last two Olympic trials, there's your two... There, at least in the men's race, there's two locks.
Mm-hmm.
There's two guys that are always going to make it, and then the third one could be like anybody.
A red flag.
And I don't... gosh.
Inside joke.
Inside, yeah, okay. Anyway, so as far as locks, I don't know if there is a lock for me outside of... I think Rupp's going to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think Rupp's going to be on the team. I didn't necessarily think that until his recent performance in Phoenix.
He went 28:30 his last 10K on that.
Yeah, so, I think Rupp's a lock. He's the guy I'm picking for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to go with Jared Ward. I met the dude. He's the nicest guy ever. I can't not pick Jared Ward. Even if I didn't think he was going to make it, I got to pick Jared Ward.
Walmsley, dude, I'm walking out of this podcast.
And I have Walmsley as my most interesting athlete, the athlete that I want to see what he does the most out of anybody else, but I'm not picking him.
Okay.
I am going to go with Leonard Carrier.
Okay.
I think that he's got the world cross-country experience. I think he's the second fastest marathoner in the field. I think that he is going to make it. So I'm going Rupp, Ward, and Leonard Carrier. Not in that order.
If I had money on this, I would go with Jesse's pick.
Yeah,
I was putting my
not
money
in that order. I think Fobel can make it. I think Stinson can make it. I think Bambaloo.
Yes,
sure. Got it. And then Mock. I think all those guys. Bernard Lagat, Sam Chalinga's in it.
I'm gonna throw a name out there.
Chalinga's
that you guys are overlooking.
Who's that?
Bear with me. Dathan Ritzenheim.
You know?
No.
He beat Stinson in that 15K earlier this year. Like he's been throwing down some really good...
Wasn't Parker coming off an injury, though?
I'm just saying, like, he's been throwing out some... like, if you watched their videos...
Recently?
So Dathan coaches Parker, and sometimes they'll do workouts together. Dathan waxes him.
And I mean,
you
Dathan,
can't throw him if he's healthy.
Okay.
I mean, he could slip in there. I'm not picking him.
Sure.
But he's people keep overlooking.
You know,
him.
if that happened, I'd be really happy for him. Yeah. That'd be a great way to kind of like cap everything.
I think he's going to be in the mix for a while. I don't know how long he'll stay in the mix, but I think he'll be up there in a while.
You know, I think that's reasonable.
And I like Dathan.
But there's a lot of people. I just think. If I had to do two locks, I would say Rupp and I think Career, and I wouldn't say Ward's a lock, but I would pick him.
The reason why I'm not picking Career is because of the I know y'all say that. Yeah. I just think Ward is good at that, man.
If
it was a flat course, I would not pick Wamsley.
None of those names that I said though would surprise me if they made the team. Wamsley would surprise me. I know you guys picked Wamsley, but that would surprise me.
You know, you still have like guys like Parker coming down from altitude, Ward's coming from altitude. So
Parker's
even
good,
Career
man, pick.
Is, I mean, a lot of these guys are out west.
Yeah. And you know, it's almost like, that's where you got to be anymore.
Yeah.
Outside
Flagstaff, Colorado.
To be a contender.
My issue with Parker, though, and I like him. I really like him because I like watching stuff. But like outside of that 15K he did, 25K that he set the American record, like normally when big races, he kind of. He never really kind of exceeds where he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. But I'm not saying he can't do it. I mean, I'm rooting for him.
All right.
I like him.
I think before we move on to the women's race, I want to give a shout out to Brian Wheat at Village Recording Studio here in Broderpool. That's where we're recording today. And Brian is our sound engineer extraordinaire. There we go. So let's move on to the women's race. Blake, you started us off before. Let's
all right, the women's. I'm not really the expertise on this, but I guess I will go with number one. I will go with Hasse.
Okay.
Jordan Hasse.
I'll go with her. I feel like she's making a comeback, even though she hadn't ran good in a while. Go with Hasse. Number two, I'm going to go with Dez.
I mean, she always shows up.
She seems solid.
She was second in the last two Olympic trials.
The tougher the conditions are, the better she seems to roll.
Mm-hmm.
And three, I was going to pick Sarah Hall, but I changed my mind now.
Cool.
I'm going to go with the 361 athlete, Sarah Crouch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Dark horse.
Sarah Crouch is my girl.
Giving some 361 love.
That's
yeah.
That's her.
All right.
So she's got a shot. She's she's got
sure.
A standard.
Why
so
not?
Why not?
And I will point out with this women's field, it's a really
huge.
Big race, and I would say like this is probably going to be more dramatic and competitive than I think the men's. I think anybody could walk away with this. I don't think there's a clear cut.
Mm-mm.
I don't think anybody's clear cut on this team.
No, there's been a lot of ups and downs with.
Yeah,
the women.
Whereas I think there's maybe like 10 guys that could make the team for women. Aren't for men, I'm sorry. I think it's wide open on the women's.
I mean, our homegirl Olivia was only 30 seconds back from Linden in Philly.
Yeah, so,
anything can go wrong.
I think there's going to be some surprises in the women's race, and I'm really excited to watch it. So go ahead. Jason, your picks?
Yeah, I think you're right on that, though. Well, the way it could stack up, I mean, I could see multiple groups or, like, a very large pack going with that. But I'm going to kind of sticking with – okay, so I have one – probably consistent one here, and that's Sarah Hall. So I think Sarah's going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. Des Linden, obviously, she's going to be on that top three. I think she's
just
this is her
competitor.
Course. I mean, this is her course. It's her weather. I mean, she did a really good job at Boston a couple of years in some really crappy conditions that just collapsed a lot of the top athletes, and she just plowed through it. And then I'm probably going to go with Emily Sisson for number three. She's got the experience. She's got she's kind of been flying under the radar a little bit, but,
which is like not a bad thing.
No, it's not. And you know, I think that's going to be good for her, but I don't know if I've got some other, like, Kellen Taylor's another one to kind of keep an eye on. Jordan Hasse also, you know, so I think you're right though. I mean, there's 10 or 12 that I could go through that.
It could be somebody we don't even know.
You know, so like, speaking of that, like Gwen Jorgensen, right? She won gold in Rio last time around in triathlon. And she, like, I know she's a like wild dark horse on this.
Did she declare?
Yeah, I think she's in it. But I think she's got a good chance of, of doing something, I don't know, because she's got that grit. So mm-hmm. we'll see. But I mean, that's it. Again, with the ladies, a lot of them qualified on really flat courses.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, what's it going to look like when they start coming down?
And yeah. And one thing about, I know like the standard is set off international standards, because that's part of the bylaws. Like you can't have your standard faster than the international standard.
Right.
But I think it's time to challenge the women a little bit more. With that many competitors in the field, I think we bring the time down. I think it's just going to make people faster. Women will get faster. I mean, like 500 plus women, that's a lot. I think they're ready to go. I think maybe like even like a 240.
I'd say
still a lot of women will hit 240.
I think sub 240 is fair. I think a 245 is a little bit.
Let's look.
Little bit.
Quick. Yeah. How many women?
So if you cut it off at 240 for the women,
I bet we'd still have a lot.
Have a lot. So you would probably have.
Quick stats.
Let me get quick stats
going. Well, and here, to be fair, women are, I think, naturally better runners as a whole than men.
Distance.
Are.
I think distance-wise, yeah. I think, especially doing some ultras now, I mean, they're tough. The further it goes, I mean,
and women. I don't want to think that we're downgrading to 245.
I'm saying the standard. Awesome time, but I think women are exceeding the standard. Yes, I think it should be.
Yes. I think the 240 would be right on, because you'd actually cut out about 300 women from the race.
And that'd be the same as the men's field. The men's field is like 260 something.
242 or something.
242.
And that would be like the A standard? That would just be.
No, that's all of them. Standard, so that's like. That would be the last standard. If you do an A standard, I mean, hell, you had three girls almost make the. Three women almost make the men's standard. Like, I mean, they were close.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like 2 minutes, I mean, 3 minutes off.
Women, I agree. 240.
Yeah, women are ready for that. I think.
Women's distance running.
Because I mean, last time it was only like 200 some women at 245. So in 4 years, there's like double the amount of women, which is incredible. Yeah. Which is hats off to all the tough ladies out there. Now, hot take number two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's basically the same hot take. Emily Sesson, these are some of the top expert picks. New Balance athlete, Molly Huddle, Saucony athlete, Sarah Hall, ASICS athlete, Des Linden, Brooks athlete. You have to go down like to Jordan Hasse to get your Nike athlete, Kellen Taylor, Hoka. And then we got Sally Kipiego, which is a Nike athlete.
Okay, but I know where we're going here with the shoe thing, but can I say that
those are
Brooks two. And Hoka both have a special shoe.
Not till recently.
That's kind of
similar. I don't think these people qualified with that shoe.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, we got, I just listed 14 men, or seven men, seven women. That's 14 athletes, and 5 of them are Nike athletes.
I mean, so that's fair.
I'm just saying, that's everybody fair. Is like, you gotta have these shoes to run fast. Well, some of these people didn't that's have fair. These shoes. That's just fair. my hot take here.
It's the faster chariot syndrome, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the shoes, this is the thing. The shoes, in the end, you've got to run. Yeah. You've got to put one leg in front of the other.
And our friend Noah Drotty, who ran 2:11, who won't be running at the trials, otherwise I would have put him in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Saucony athlete.
He is.
Wearing Saucony
shoes. Sarah Crouch, my dark horse.
361 athlete. Yeah, so, there we go. So anyway, some of my picks, a lot of all those names, I think it's going to be tough to say who's going to make it. Honestly, like I said, it's going to be super competitive. I think you got to throw Des in there. I mean, she's nailed. She's done it second last two Olympic trials. Won Boston, 2018? It was 2018 Boston Marathon?
Yes,
2018 Boston Marathon winner. She's tough as nails. She knows how to run marathons. I'm going to put her in there. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't. I wouldn't be surprised if any of these people don't. I'm going to go with Emily Sisson. It's Sisson?
Sisson.
And I apologize again. I'm bad with names, even though I got that right. But I'm going to go with her on the team. But it will be interesting to see. I think she's only run one marathon previously. It was a fantastic marathon in bad conditions. But now that the pressure's on her, I think she is the one that a lot of people are saying are a lock. And a lot of people, that's a top-end pick, but how does she handle that pressure being the person that people are gunning for will be interesting to watch unfold. And then I'm going to go with Sarah Hall, because I had to pick somebody. And one time I saw Sarah Hall at Boston sharing an earplug, a music earphone with Ryan Hall. And it was so cute.
Oh,
so other than that, and she's a fantastic runner. She's nails. So if my picks hold up, then we would have a New Balance, and, Asics, and Brooks athlete,
Sarah Hall,
and
is,
no Nike athletes.
Sarah Hall is hot.
Okay. Have you seen Ryan bulking up? He's going to kick your ass for saying that.
Hey, I could actually outrun him now.
Yeah, but if he caught you.
Hey, exactly. So, question, Jesse. If somebody came up to you and was like, hey, man, when is the Olympic trials? What time? What station? How can I watch it?
I think I covered that in the beginning of the show.
Recap.
Yeah, but we'll
before
recap.
Before you do that, one real quick thing. So, I did go back and double check, because Blake made me wonder. Gwen Jorgensen actually didn't declare.
She didn't declare.
Oh,
no,
okay.
So she's not in it. So we take that back.
Oh, and one thing to note about the women's field. Yeah. I know a lot of you, if you haven't heard, Amy Craig, who is a fantastic competitor, won the last Olympic trials, recently said she will not be running. So that's really unfortunate because, I mean...
And our friend, I know you probably meant, our friend Noah will not be running.
Yeah, either. I said that. Yeah, like 2 minutes.
He's going to be running the New York City half, so check out him for that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he's got a chance to play.
Noah's got a bright future ahead of him. He'll be good. I mean, that... And then, like, last time I talked to him, he said, you know, running 2:11 ain't bad.
As
a consolation prize, that's not bad.
Exactly.
So I think Noah's gonna have a fantastic future. I wish he was in the race, but you know, again, things come up, life gets in the way, injuries happen. Same with Amy Craig.
He'll be all right. He'll be back. He'll be all right.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Is there anything else we're missing? I like I said, the race is in Atlanta. It's going to happen February 29th, Leap Day. Men's race starts at 12:03. Women's race, 12:13. It's on NBC. The race is 26.2 miles, in case we didn't cover what a marathon is.
So the trial, it's a qualifier. So the top three go. There'll be a fourth alternative. And then...
Yeah.
It's different.
Dathan will finish fourth.
yeah, like he did last time.
He always finishes.
And one thing that can, one thing I think, moving on past this race, I think it's interesting that Tokyo recently it canceled everything but the elite race because of the coronavirus, and also I've heard that all the Olympic volunteers, where they have volunteer training for the Olympics, are getting pushed back. They're supposed to start now, and now they're not even going to start till May.
Wow.
Which is going to be like, yeah, I mean, they need this is a very volunteer-driven event. I mean, and the coordination, I wonder how it's going to play into the Olympics. It's just kind of an interesting factoid.
Yeah, there's been a lot of chatter about what are they going to do, and Japan's under some scrutiny right now after what happened with the cruise ship and that whole bit. So I think it was the right call to leave it to the elites. I know a lot of people that were planning on racing that are
pretty sad, and I feel unfortunate. That's a world major event.
It's
that's
a huge race.
Yeah. What is it? That's got to be like close
30,
to 50.
Yeah, 30, 50,000.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. That 30, 50 is a big jump, but I don't know.
On a positive
it's huge.
On a positive note, though, the Olympics this year is going to be like Mario themed.
What?
What?
You didn't hear about that?
Why?
Yeah, it's going to be Mario thing. Like, it's going to be like...
Is this your hot take?
No, yeah. So basically, the medals are from, like, people donated, like all these, like, gaming stuff. And they're going to make the medals out of that. And it's going to be Mario Brothers.
Oh,
thing.
I guess they did
invent... Yeah, it's
going
to be cool. It's going to be really
Super
cool.
Nintendo. Now Super I get
Nintendo,
the... Yes.
Nintendo Mario will all be themed.
Oh.
Even the medals are going to be themed
as
gaming.
Interesting.
It's
really
interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else we left out about the race that you guys want to talk about?
35,000 in Tokyo.
Oh, we will have a lot. There'll be a lot of people driving down to the race locally.
Mm-hmm.
It's only an 8-hour trip from Indianapolis, and I'm hoping they'll listen to the podcast on the way.
Yeah, that would be.
So yeah, if you know someone driving down, tell them that they can listen to this podcast. It's going to be a very friendly race for spectators with all the loops and stuff. So people are going to be able to see athletes lots of times going around the course. I think one article I read said like you could potentially see an athlete 7 times, which is incredible.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, for a 26.2-mile race. So.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
So, this is a little bit off subject, but Jason, yeah. You know, I just turned 40. You're 45.
Yeah.
So, you know, world championships in the old division is this year.
Oh, you're 40 now, Blake?
I'm 40 Happy now. Birthday.
So, you're heading to Toronto?
I may head to Toronto and run the old division, old man division.
Okay.
We'll be in the same bracket or?
Mm-hmm. Bring your 5K. Yeah, because it's 40 to 40.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, 40
so, to it, you guys may be able to see me and Jason racing world championships in the old man division.
I'll put a sign on the back of my jersey.
All right. So I think that's it. I think we're wrapping up here. So one last time, we'll thank 361 for sponsoring the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome brand. Check it out. Love their shoes.
And they got a new racing shoe out now, the Faisu 2.
Yeah, Faisu 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Faisu 2. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that.
Say that 10 times fast.
Anyway, well, you know, if you listen to our show before, we always recommend for you to keep running on Indy.
You're supposed to say that.
Put that in.
A little slow.
But I'll catch it.